2 Samuel 15, we're going to start our reading at verse 13 and read through the rest of this chapter. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 13, and the scripture says, "And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household, after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him. And all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, there, even there, also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all his little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said to Zadok, Carry the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again, and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good to him. And the king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz and thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet, and wept as he went, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and as they went, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant heretofore, so will now I now also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not here there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. And we'll end our reading there. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. This morning I want us to consider those words that are found there, most particularly in verse 21, where you have the response of Ittai to David's request for him to go back. And Ittai said and answered the king, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, there, even there shall also thy servant be. May the Lord be pleased to bless us as we are looking into his words. This morning I want us to think on what I am calling your king is everything. Your king is everything. Before we go forward, though, let's just turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us as we are here before him. Our Father and our God, now we pray that thou wilt take this time and anoint it with the Spirit's power and help. And Lord, may we be those who are directed by that Spirit to behold Christ. And Lord, may we also be those who are helped by the grace of God to own Christ and to say within our own souls that where he is, whether it be in life or in death, there will we be. Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause us to realize that that whole thing has been settled, though, for us at the cross and at the tomb. Now for us there is but life. But Lord, we know that sometimes, Lord, thou dost call us to bear many things. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to have hearts that are given to our King. And we pray that thou wilt now bless this word, bless it for Jesus' sake, and help in the preaching, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The account of 2 Samuel 15 is the flight of David from Jerusalem. It is the moment of Absalom's treachery and his conspiracy to overthrow David from his throne. And if you will recall, then, as we have just now read, we have the setting in which David and his servants are hurrying away from the city while Absalom and his men are getting ready to occupy the same. I say you have a wondrous miracle here, if you would say. You would think that if a man was going to come into a city and become king, that he would want to do it in great haste while his enemy was at his low point. Why did Absalom delay coming to Jerusalem? Why was there time for David to be able to gather up the whole of his household, all of his men that were with him, and in fact rally his entire army and leave the city in good order without having one arrow fly or one sword raised against him? You would have to say, indeed, it was a miracle of the Lord's own grace. But within this story that we have here, this account of a king and of a usurper who are in conflict, I say we have another story unfolding. For in this chapter we read of the two friends of David, two men who were at his side, two men who were given to him, one as a counselor, one as a captain. These men were confidants, but yet you see these two men going two diametrically different ways. Now, it is interesting to note the differences between these two men. I think it's interesting because the character and the background of these men point out an important lesson about the gospel. and about the loyalty that we might expect for the Lord Jesus Christ. These two men are very different. And you would think that the background would determine how each one of these men acted. But you find out that that's not the case. In fact, it is just the reverse of what you would think naturally would happen. And you would think, well, what would have made the difference for these two men acting so differently? Why would you see, even though there was one who had great advantage from his years in being in Israel, from his years of knowing David, from his years of being able to stand in the courts of David, why would it be that his heart was directed in one direction, where the man who was, as it were, a refugee, a man who had really nothing to commend him, a man who was by many one to be held in suspicion, and yet he goes a different way entirely? Why? Well, I come back to my title, and that I'm going to allow to serve as my premise, and that is this: your king is everything. Who your king is determines who you choose to be and end up being. And I want us to think about these two men that are discussed here: Ahithophel, the great and mighty counselor, who is related to David, and Ittai, the man who was the newcomer, yet a refugee, and one that was from a land that was held as being despicable, and indeed the land of the enemy. Two men, Ahithophel and Ittai. In fact, on the surface, so I want us to think first on the background of these two men. And I would say on the surface, because these two men said that they were followers of David, one might suspect that they had come along very similar paths. But again, as I noted a moment ago, that is so far from the way it was. First, consider with me Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a man from the land of Judah. Do you remember what the men of Judah did after Saul was killed at Gilboa? How they went and they sought out David. And it was the men of Judah who said, "Let us bring David and make him king." And then you had the sons of Israel, the others, the other tribes, saying, "Oh yes, we will help you in this venture. We will help you set David up upon his throne." And what did Judah say to all the rest of Israel? "No, sir. He is our brother. He is from our house. We will set him up as king." And the Israelites said, "Well, he's going to be king over all Israel. You're not going to do it by yourself." And the scripture says that the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. In other words, not just fierce in that we're going to be against you, Israel, but we demand that David be owned as a man from Judah. He is our dear brother. We own this man as king, more so than the rest of you do. I would suggest to you that it was not unlikely that Ahithophel was, as a man of Judah, at one point in his life, one whose words were fierce in favor of David. Ahithophel grew up in the ways of the people of Israel. Having come from the land of Judah, the people of Judah, he knew well the ways of the Lord. He knew well the law. The scriptures tell us that Ahithophel came from the city called Gilo, which was in the mountains of the land of Judah. In fact, you may find that this town which he grew up in, the town that he was from, was only but 10 miles away from that place which was David's own city, which was the city of Bethlehem. Further, if you were to investigate a little bit further in the scriptures, you would find out that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And so, in a fashion, Ahithophel was related to David. Can we put it maybe like this? He was grandfather-in-law to David. Yet, even the place that Ahithophel comes from does speak to a certain degree of what would be the lot of the man when all is said and done. Because Gilo, the city of Gilo, the name Gilo means exile. He was one whose title was that he was an exile. And in this case, exile from truth. Exile from the Lord's own blessing through the king that the Lord had chosen, the man after God's own heart. Ahithophel was a man who was with David from the beginning. Then you have Ittai. Ittai was a Gittite. Sounds like an insect that would be, we'd be calling the fumigators for, a Gittite. What is a Gittite? Well, a Gittite simply means that he was from the city of Gath. Perhaps you will remember the city of Gath referred to elsewhere in Scripture, for Gath was not a city of Israel. Gath was a city of the Philistines. His place from which he came was wholly different from Ahithophel. He was, as it were, a stranger to the people of God. He was, in fact, at some point in his life, very likely an enemy of David. Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Who was it of the 10,000s that were slain? Men of Gath. You might say it this way, Ittai had no right nor place to David or to a home in Judah. No right at all. And again, the scriptures say that he was a refugee out of that land of the Philistines. I don't think it was unlikely that Ittai became familiar with David during those days in which David may have found himself a refuge among the Philistines. For David spent some time dwelling amongst these very ones who were the inhabitants of Gath and the inhabitants of the Philistine world. And I think perhaps you may have had Ittai considering the words that may have been spoken about David in those years in which he was seen as the champion of Israel. And I think even more so, I think you have it that Ittai may have come to understand that the Lord, the true God that had delivered Goliath of Gath into the hand of David, was with David in a very mighty way. David was God's man. David knew the power of God. And Ittai may have seen that. I think everything that you would indicate, especially from the response of our text, where Ittai says to David, "As the Lord liveth." You'd have to say Ittai knew who the true and living God was. Ittai had seen the power of the true and living God. Ittai feared the Lord God and knew that he was with David. How did that happen? Well, you say, Mark, you're speculating here. I'm speculating based on what the Scripture says. He knew of the Lord. How did he come to know of the Lord? Most likely through an experience with David, or having seen the Lord work in and through David. What is evident, though, is that Ittai risked everything to come to David. Can you understand the picture here? The Philistines were still at war with Israel. When David was king or became king, the Philistines were still an enemy. For Ittai to have left Gath, to have taken those men with him that were following him, and to come over to the side of David would have been seen on the part of the Philistines as an act of traitorism. And his own people would have disowned him. And understand this, it's one thing for a man himself to go and to move over to another position and be seen as a traitor. It's quite another thing when a man does that And he takes with him his little ones. I'm trying to set to you the enormity of the risk of the change that came over the heart of Ittai as he came to regard David and he came to regard David's God. But here I want you to see a difference in the heart of Ittai from Ahithophel. In the mind of Ittai, to go forward with David in danger was no worse, in fact may have seemed infinitely better, than to dwell in the hopeless estate of being in Gath at peace by men's standards, or to dwell in Jerusalem with Absalom, where there may have been a life of attainment or exaltation. To go with David, more particularly, to go along with David's God, was far more preferable than to have all these other things. Well, you may also have to say this too. There was no way that Ittai would be able to see what the usurper king would do with him, or how he would treat him any better, or even tolerate him at all. As I was thinking on this, my mind came back to that scene in Pilgrim's Progress where you have Christian battling Apollyon. And Apollyon telling him, as the king of the world, that you are my servant and I will take you back. And then you have the words of Christian that says, no, I will not go back. For to be honest, within the words, he says, considering the kingdom to which he goes and the one that he will serve, he says, I like his kingdom better than yours. You can almost see that being the heart of Ittai. You say to go back, go back to Absalom? No, sir. I like this king's kingdom better than this one that's back there. I will not go back. Two men with two different backgrounds and yet two different ways that they went. I want us to see, second, the opportunity of these two men. Not just the background, but the opportunity. The way that the men might be seen is also somewhat linked to their names. The name Ahithophel. Now you think on the surface, Ahithophel, he was a great and mighty counselor, therefore his name must be something like clear as the sun or something like that. Ahithophel's name means my brother is foolish. A great counselor! And yet his name, my brother is foolish. Ittai means with me. You have one who has said, this brother, the brother of the king, as it were, is a foolish man. Yet this one who was a stranger, his name means with me. He is with me. Now, it might be suggested that the very course of these men and the course that they would take was determined from the day of their birth. The day they received their names from their parents' lips. You know, it has an element of truth about it. But I'm not going to make any more of that than just simply what it was. I want you to see, though, mostly, that the opportunity of these two men first was determined by the prayer of the king. It was the prayer of David that made the difference. Ittai, the recent comer and the recent lover of David, sets forth to go with David, but David takes him aside and offers him a glimpse of the truth and talks of the hardship that he would know. But of course, we have the statement of our text where Ittai says, I'll not go, but I'll be where you are. And then it says also, just before Ittai said that in verse 20, David pronounces upon his head, mercy and truth be with thee. The prayer of David for Ittai, mercy and truth be with thee. Now, I'm going to stop here and say, before I go any further, as a man who is very much convinced of the old gospel truths of the matter of election, what makes the difference with any man coming to truth or going on unto salvation? Can I simply say, in many ways, it is all boils down to this. At a point, God spoke over your soul, mercy and truth be with thee. And as God has spoken, and his words do not return unto him void, but accomplish that whereunto he sends it, what becomes your portion? Ahithophel, a planner of rebellion against David, a lover of Absalom, a picture of the flesh, has his name mentioned by David in prayer as well, in verse 31, where it says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." That's what prayed for him. Grace once offered is now removed. How sad a thought. Lord, turn what this man is and is all about, the words that concern him, turn that into foolishness, and that which will be disregarded, and that which will come to nothing. How sad it is to think that there are many who would esteem doing good in this world and trying to serve in some way the advancement of the cause of something in this world, and yet have the pronouncement over them, let it come to nothing. The prayer of David made the difference for these men. Ittai knew the mercy and the truth. Ahithophel knew his whole life coming to nothing. Second, I would point out about the opportunity. It appeared that the opportunity was exactly the same. The opportunity for these men was exactly the same, but the attractiveness of the course looked different. To both of these men, to go ahead with David was open to them. There was the opportunity to own David, to go with David, to be with him, to stand with him, to be known as David's man. It was open to both of them. To both, it would have looked like to go with David would have meant hardship, danger, sacrifice, and dishonor. You know, sometimes when the Lord would call us to follow him, it's to hardship and danger. You know, when the Lord Jesus went by those boats and said to the fishermen, "Follow me," you would say, oh, what a glorious thing the Lord was calling these men to. He was calling them to go out and be witnesses of all the mighty things that he would do, to be witnesses of the things that would be accomplished, to hear the words that he would speak. What a wonderful thing that is. The Lord says, "I follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But then when he's on the shore in John 20 talking to Peter about what Peter would do, what did he have to tell Peter that he would see only? You'll see hardship. You'll see sorrow. And as Peter writes of later on, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened." This is what we're called to. For many, understand, indeed for all of us to a certain degree, to follow Jesus is to follow that which the world labels as hardship and suffering and sacrifice. That's the way of it. That's why the Lord Jesus says to us, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." Meaning, if you're finding what life is in Christ, you're going to find that there will be much around that you'll have to say, "This goes by its way." However, on the other hand, in the estimation of many, to go with Absalom, who was obviously the one who was going to win out in all this, he was the one who was going to be king. Everybody loved him. He was the darling of the political world at that moment. He was the one who would come in and he would be a great monarch. To go with him and to become his right-hand man obviously would mean position and honor and pleasure and abundance and all the things that go along with that. You have much if you go with Absalom. I say that the choice that these two men had was often, it can often be seen as similar to the choice of Balaam. The choice was the choice of the world and all the things that the world would bring, or the choice of going on with God. Now again, the determining factor. What determined everything here? And really, I come to my major thought in this whole message this morning. Ittai loved David. He was grateful for the place that he had been given with David. And his heart had been knit to the man whose name is Beloved. Verse 21, I say, is one of the sweetest confessions of Scripture and ought to be seen by our hearts as we read it. You and I automatically ought to hear those words ringing within us, saying, you know, those are words that speak to me of the Lord Jesus and what I would say to Him if I could see Him and say something to Him today. As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place the Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, there, even there also will thy servant be. I'm not going any place but where the King is. I'm not going anywhere. No matter what I might find, no matter what the world might say I'm going to get, no matter how wonderful the world would make the picture be as to what I will be able to enjoy, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Ahithophel esteemed his chance of honor with Absalom. And again, I know I'm making a little bit out of this morning. You know what Absalom means? The word Absalom literally means my father is peace. A testimony even against him himself. My very name. My name means my father. In other words, David. David is peace. My father is peace. Ahithophel esteemed his chance of honor with Absalom of greater worth. And by the way, Absalom's mother's name, I can never say it right because it's one of those compound A's. But it sounds like Ma'aka is the word for oppression. Oppression. Peace lay with Absalom's father, but with Absalom, a product of his mother, was the oppression of sin. Absalom was a murderer, as it were, and a lustful man. Honor was not with him. That, though, is the one that Ahithophel chose to link with. Again, here is a point that makes the difference for any and every man. I'm going to make just a couple of theological points here. I want you to see from this incident, from this illustration, from this picture. Number one, the determining factor in having the safety of salvation is not where a man comes from. One of the most common arguments that is a criticism of the doctrine of election is that men who are not under the sound of the gospel must be seen as not being responsible to have to come to Christ. The heathen, many will say, in modern theology, in fact, you haven't heard when in David DeCanio's interview with Robert Schuller and Billy Graham, those words, where Schuller was asking Graham, do you think that the heathen who never heard the gospel are have some other way of salvation other than coming to Christ? And of course, then you have that infamous statement that Billy Graham said, I think it might be so. And Robert Schuller was just gleeful, smiling, thinking that there's another way than the blood. Again, one of the most common arguments that we have against the doctrine of election is that the heathen must have an excuse or an alternate way of salvation for them because they didn't hear. You have to be able to come from the background of hearing the gospel in order to be saved. If you don't come from that background, then it's not fair that God would be merciful or not be merciful. Here you have the incident. The man who was with David, the man who was of Israel, the man who was of Judah. And again, I keep thinking of Ahithophel as being one of those cheering, defiant Judah men that insisted on being the ones who enthroned David in the first place. He comes from that background, and yet he is the one who's lost. And you have the man who comes out of the background of the heathen, owning nothing, having nothing, no rights, no claims, nothing, other than having a love for David. He is the one that is saved. Do you almost see the parallel when the Lord's statement in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee? The Pharisee who knew much and yet was lost. The publican who says, I don't own anything but shame and guilt, yet he called on the mercies of the Lord. And the Lord said, that one goes up to his house justified rather than this other one over here. The notion that a man's background and his education are determiners of whether he comes to Christ or not, I say, is foolishness to take and incorporate the name of Ahithophel. The determining factor here was not where they came from. The determining factor on whether these men were the one who went on to know the salvation that was with David, as it were, came down to this one all-important question. Who is king to you? That's what it's all about. Who is king? Who is your king? Or may we put it this way, it boils down to who the Lord Jesus is to you. That will determine the way in which you will go. Many have said, the Lord is my Savior. The Lord Jesus is my Savior. And some have said, well, if that's your confession, then it's to the lions with you. And they said, okay, then that's what it'll be. Some have said that the Lord Jesus is their king. And some people say, well, then that means that you're going to have a life without, a life of deprivation. And they say, so be it. I think of the illustration that Paris Reedhead gives of the Moravians as they were getting on the boat to come over to the New World to teach the natives over here of the Lord Jesus. And as they were sailing away, knowing that they would never come back, never see their families, never know anything but a life of deprivation from that point on, yet they stood in the bow of that ship and called back to the people that were on the land as they were waving goodbye, the Lamb is worthy of the reward of His sufferings. Counting that it was all worthy. It was all worthwhile. I go on with the King. Where He goes, there I go. Where He dwells, there I dwell. Who Christ is to you determines everything. If He is but a historical figure who benefited the kingdom, if you want to put it in that terms, the church, in His time and holds no more authority and has done no more work for you, then you will go along with Ahithophel. This man was just, Christ was good for His time, but here's the rise of a new king. Here's the opportunity of a new day. Here's the promise of a new livelihood. Here is something that's going to make me feel very, very wonderful in this life. If that's who you are and you esteem Christ as being somebody who is of insignificance, yes, you'll go the way that Ahithophel goes. If, however, you see the Lord Jesus as the anointed one whose work has made a way of salvation with God, you will say with Ittai, though I am worthy of nothing and a foreigner to grace, I will go with the king wherever he goes, no matter what it costs. I say the determining factor is not what you are, where you came from. The determining factor is who is your king, and is that king everything to you? That is a lesson from this portion of Scripture. Who is the king to you? Now let's notice quickly in the last place, the end of the two men. And before I present each man's end, I want to ask the question, given the obvious circumstance at hand, how would you expect each man's future to turn out? Now, take just the circumstance that you have presented here in this portion of Scripture. David is on the run. David doesn't even know where he's going. And Absalom is coming as a victorious, conquering king to inhabit Jerusalem. How would you expect each man's future to turn out? Well, for Ahithophel, I think in his mind he was saying in his head, I am now about to become the number two man in Israel. And if anything should happen to Absalom, you know what? I may end up being number one. If you were looking at the circumstances, you would have to say about Ittai that he and his family were about to be destroyed. My follow-up question to that is this. How quickly was the matter of their future determined, though? Here, this is going to happen. Here's what's going to happen given the circumstance. Now, how quickly did that circumstance get turned on its head? Or may we put it this way, how quickly did the circumstance have his head get caught in the tree? If you know what happened to Absalom. Like that. God turned it all over. You think about Ittai when he went forth with David. It says in verse 30 that when David went out of the city, that David went out with his head covered with, there was mourning, that David ascended the Mount Olivet barefooted. You know, I think Ittai was the same way. And I simply say this, to those in Christ, we also are united to Christ in His ascent to Mount Calvary's hill. Same kind of picture. Here goes my king up the hill of Mount Olivet. He goes as one who mourns, who has the bare feet. That is a picture of the people of God going with their Christ to that place where Christ takes care of their sin and brings to them a new robe. And I suggest to you that there was in that a true securing of the mercy and truth that were prayed out over Ittai. In this act of his king's humbling under the mighty hand of God, he saw himself also brought into the restoration that was given to that king. You and I, as we go forth owning Christ and His shame, as it were, as Christ is exalted, what's He say about us when He brings us to Himself? That we shall with Him dwell in that place where He is, knowing the glory that He has. Our time of enjoyment is yet to come. But our time will not be an enjoyment that we see for ourselves the opportunity to be some great one. Let me tell you plainly, when you get to heaven's glory, what's going to be joy for you, if you're in Christ, is you'll be able to see the Lord Jesus glorified. He is the Lamb that is worthy. Oh, what it'll be a day to see all of redemption finally ingathered, and the Lord Jesus being able to say, it's all finished now. It's all wrapped up, as it were, and the Lamb is truly glorified. What a thing it'll be for our hearts. Ittai's glory was that David was lifted up. Ahithophel, you know, when Absalom came into Jerusalem, Ahithophel did give him counsel. And do you understand that Ahithophel's counsel, if it had been followed, would have been the one to have taken? I mean, as far as logistics go, and as far as doing a campaign to go out and to destroy David and his armies, Ahithophel's counsel was the right counsel. Hushai came and gave his counsel, a counsel that you'd have to say was particularly anointed of the Lord to be brought to Absalom's heart to make him do the wrong thing. Ahithophel says, pursue him quickly. Get out there after him right away. He is weak. You'll overtake him and you'll overthrow him. And Hushai says, no. You don't know your father. Your father's a mighty man of war. He's holed up someplace and he's like a bear that's robbed of her whelps. You go out and find him, you're going to find one who's going to come on you with such fury that you can't imagine. Absalom listened to Hushai. If he had listened to Ahithophel, it would have been a different story. But the Lord turned it over. Ahithophel had sold himself entirely into the hand of the rogue king. And he was providentially overthrown. His counsel was turned to nothing. And you'd have to say, why was that? Because the king prayed for that. His counsel was turned into foolishness. Exactly what David said. He then, suffering dishonor, does what? You know what happens to Ahithophel? He goes out and kills himself. Now you and I might look at that as a reaction that was a bit overdone. Just because your counsel wasn't taken, that was the end of his hope of ever being number two. He would now be seen as a man who was much less in his worth. He couldn't take that. And so he does what the man of foolishness does. There is no stability. There is no reason apart from the king. Conclusion. What do we say in response to all these things? I've got 2 points I want to make. What made the difference between these two men? Number one, what they were in their own eyes and what they wanted made all the difference. Ahithophel was great in his own eyes and wanted a claim and position. He judged that association with the king would damage that opportunity. Oh, does that sound like some men in the world? He wanted much for himself. Further, who David was with God made little difference to him. You would have thought that Ahithophel, having been with David so long and seen how the Lord had worked with him so mightily over all those years, he would have come to understand that God was with David, but he didn't care about that. He did not consider the fact that David walked with God. Ittai saw himself as nothing and without any real worth. He viewed David as everything and knew that David was God's chosen one. And he did not regard what was to be had in this life as anything. He just wanted to be with David. For he had known David's love to him. What they wanted in their own eyes, or saw of themselves in their own eyes, and what they wanted was very different. And then number two, the direct involvement of the king in their blessing made the difference. David considered these men. David considered Ahithophel as one to be judged. David considered Ittai as one to receive tender mercy. Simply understand, we are what we are by the grace of the King. Paul says it, I am what I am by the grace of the Lord. Plain and simple. And what the circumstances of life would tell us that we are to come to are oftentimes opposite of what the truth is. When the world looks at what you are and looks at what you're doing and looks at what you will have and what they conclude and tell you, well, if you go on this route, you're going to end up with this. But if you do this over here, you get this. You know, that's almost always the opposite of the truth. For a believer, it is substantially so. Why? Because you have one who is in the heavenlies praying for his people. And if this thing or that thing is that which is harmful, he will not have it to be our portion. The whole of the matter is determined with what God is doing with the king. What God was doing with David determined what God would do with Ittai. What was God going to do with David? He was going to reestablish him. He was going to allow him to be exalted again. What is the Lord doing with Jesus Christ? What the Lord is doing with the Lord Jesus is determining what the Lord is going to do with you. Oh, may we always understand that our all that has to do with us is entirely linked with our relationship with our King. Therefore, the wise thing is that we set our hearts on what is true about our King and His work, and that determines how we go forward. This is a lesson, a picture, an illustration, if you will, from the history of God's people, particularly of King David. But it is one that teaches a lesson about how the people of God are determined for the blessing of the Lord, or those who reject the Lord Jesus, to that which proves to be their undoing. The parallel is there. May the Lord be pleased to allow our hearts to know the good of the Lord Jesus praying for us. And may we, like Ittai, say, as the Lord liveth and my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place the Lord my King shall be, even there also will thy servant be. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Father in heaven, now I pray that thou wilt bless thy word. I pray that thou wilt use it. I pray that thou wilt cause us to be those who are given to following after Christ and esteeming not anything that the world would say, you'll lose out on this or you'll not have that. What difference does it make? We are Christ's. Lord, may He be sweet to us even this day. Now I pray that thou wilt dismiss us as thy people. I pray that thou wilt go with us as we leave this place. Keep us in thy fear. Let thy Spirit continue to minister to us as we reside before thee in this thy day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.